With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hello and welcome to the Trample Bet podcast for the weekend of Saturday, April 29th, 2023. I am your host, Andy Vaughan, and with me, as always, is Gordo.
Hello, how you doing, Andy?
Very well, thanks. How are you? Newly married, Mr. McLarnon?
Yep, that's it. I'm pretty damn good. I was even better when during the wedding pictures were getting taken, you come up to me and like, Como have scored and your outside has just come in. That's like, I
saw the break when the photographer turned her back and I ran up and I showed him the goal alert. It's like, there you go. There's your drawing.
Aye.
Tremendous. So that's Gordon McLarnon, nay McLarnon. Is that what you're saying now?
Double knee.
Double knee. And with us this week, Dave Greenfield, Trample Bet co-host, been on the last 2 weeks, back for a third in a row. How are you doing, Dave?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks, guys. Not too bad at all.
Excellent. We're same format as always. We'll recap how we got on last week. We'll have a quick break, and then we'll get straight into the picks for next weekend. So, to recap last week, we had a good week last week. I think overall, that's another tick in the win column. I started with a banker on 6 a.m. on Sunday in the Japanese J-League, Seretse Osaka versus Kashiwa Reysol. Fancied Osaka to win this, but took them in the double chance, which took them down to a banker price of 2 to 11, so a home winner draw. And they did win the game. They won 1-0 with a goal in the 23rd minute and then just saw the game out without any real concern against a very poor Kashiwa Reysol side. So banker in for me.
Banking in for me also. This was Friday night, PSG versus Angers, Angers versus PSG, actually. Why you were being offered 1-4 for this, I do not know. It's the best team in France versus the worst team in the French top division. They're so adrift and going to get relegated this year. PSG won this game 2-1. They were 2-0 up. Angers got a freak goal, but not even really. They're almost already relegated. They've got no real fight for... After they scored, they were just happy to score against PSG. So, but yeah, 1-4 came in, which led us on to Dave, who I believe was in English League 2.
It was, yeah. I rounded out the Bank of Treble in League 2, and it was Stockport against Rochdale. And I like Stockport, and they won the game 1-0. Got the winner in the 8th minute of stoppage time in the first half. To be fair, not much happened in the game, really. Stockport had a lot of possession. They had 17 attempts, but only one on target, which was the one they scored. Rochdale had an XG of 0.05. So I'm pretty sure Rochdale didn't make it out of their own half very often, but not as comfortable as I thought it was going to be, but a win for Stockport nevertheless.
Superb, Dave. And that meant the banker treble for the show came in again. I think Gordon, you and I are on a lot of bankers in a row.
Yeah, I'm at least five. I'm at as many banker. I think I am every banker, and then the show before that, I got 0-4. So since then,
yeah, so since you did that, which must be a good 7 weeks ago or something.
Yeah,
we've been really good, and Dave as well. So banker treble in ideal. On to the value picks then. I lost my value pick this week. I was in the Japanese J-League, Hiroshima versus Tokyo. I fancy Hiroshima to have a really good season this year, and they were off the back of 5 wins in a row, and they managed to lose 2-1 at home to Tokyo. That was the halftime score, 2-1, and then it ended 2-1 in what looked like a reasonably even game. So I can't really complain about it either. Not good.
In my value pick, I was really disappointed in... I'd like to congratulate Kilmarnock on their first away win of the season against St Mirren.
Yeah, so let's take a moment and just say congratulations to Kilmarnock, or whatever word it was you used there.
Congrats. I was reading Kilmarnock at the same time. Yeah, St Mirren versus Kelly. St Mirren just did not show up for this game. They were 2-0 down at half time, which is concerning enough when you're playing against Kilmarnock. The XG for them was terrible, like the 0.6 in the full game. They didn't, in the second half, they brought on a guy called, I think it's Thierry Small, who's in from, he's on loan from Southampton, right? They brought in Thierry Small in the, was it 50? Thierry Small in the 46th minute. He got himself booked in the 67th and sent off in the 68th, right? Great. Thanks very much, Thierry. At St Mirren just weren't at the races today. The two early goals killed them, and it's done their European campaign in because they were on a right tear of form. So yeah, no win for St Mirren, and probably the most disappointing pick of the weekend, I would say, because they really looked like they were going to do something there. Dave?
Yeah, I rounded out the value trouble with a loss of a pick, but not a loss in the game. It was Brentford against Villa, and I like Villa. Couldn't turn them down at the odds they were, but finished 1-1. Pretty even game, especially the first half. Villa lost Martinez to illness at half-time, and Olsen came on, but there was nothing he could do about the goal that Brentford scored through Tony. And then Villa got an equaliser in the 88th minute through Douglas Luiz. Brentford then had a goal disallowed for offside. And Luiz had one that just scraped the post for Villa. But pretty even game, and draw probably the right result, to be honest.
It was big odds, though, Dave. Like, I was saying, like, was it almost... It was a big odds value, wasn't it?
Yeah. Just under 2-1. Really. Yeah. I couldn't turn down Villa at that price.
No, I think you were on the right side of it, for sure. But no joy in the values this week. Which moves us on to the outsiders. Probably our best section in terms of returns. We've hit some big ones, and we continue to hit 2-1 shots plus. And if you're combining those, you're getting some really big odds. So my outsider was the Scottish Premiership game between Dundee United and Livingston at the weekend. Dundee United came into this game winning their last two matches in a row, form that they haven't seen for ages. And I fancied them to win again, and not just to win, but to be leading at half time. So to win the first half, which got me those 2-1 odds. And they did indeed win the first half. They were 1-0 up at half time, and they went on to win the game 2-0. So that's now three wins in a row for Dundee United, pulling themselves off the bottom. But with Kilmarnock winning and beating St Mirren, as Gordon's explained, it's really tight down there. Ross County are now starting to get a little bit marooned. But now the Scottish Premiership splits, and the top six go off and play each other in one final round of matches, and the bottom six play each other. So all the teams that are in trouble are going to be playing each other. It's a cup final every week, so it's going to be good watching in the Scottish Premiership, especially the relegation group. But another outsider in for me at odds of 2-1.
I already alluded to my outsider coming in. This was Como versus Askeley, and a match provided to me by Andy during my pictures at my wedding with his phone halfway through. Weird game. And they're in the, if you were Andreas Seri of Como, you pretty much had every emotion going, in that he had a goal varred off in the 7th minute, he missed a penalty in the 77th, and then won it in the 91 and scored his actual goal in 90+2. He did everything in this game that you can, that isn't being booked as a striker. So a game ended up 1-1. Took a couple of penalties in there as well. If you look at the stats of the game overall, Como were, and Askeley's XG was like 0.27. So they converted their only opportunity. Askeley, Como were all over the top of them, and finally got that, the goal to bring it level. We wanted a draw. We got a draw. It came in. It was quite a short price for a draw.
23-10.
23-10, yeah. So generally, I like my draw is about 3-1. But I'll take this one coming in. Dave, how did you do outsider wise?
Yeah, sadly I couldn't round off with a treble. It was Leicester against Wolves, and I like the away side Wolves, but Leicester ended up winning the game 2-1. Wolves did take the lead through Cunha on 13 minutes and had a lot of the first half and could have got a couple of more goals, but then Saar went and brought down Vardy for a pen, and Iheanacho got the pen. And to be fair, I know a few Wolves fans, and they were saying they were a pretty poor second half. And Leicester kicked on, and they got the winner with Castagne scoring on 75 minutes. Yeah, not a bad start for Dean Smith, to be fair. He took 4 points in the last two games. He got a draw last night, so...
Yeah, pretty good start, but a pretty good result overall for the outsiders, with 2 out of 3 coming in at odds of 2-1 or greater. So I always back the outsiders as a Trixie, so I only need 2 out of 3 for a profitable week. So another profitable outsider week for us. On to the charity picks. This is where we have one selection each. We combine them as a treble. £10 of our own money, and should we get a result, all the money goes to a charity that we announce on the show. Unfortunately, there's no charity money this week. My charity selection did not come in. Gamba Osaka versus Yokohama FC in the Japanese top flight. I'd backed Gamba Osaka at home here, and they took the lead early before being pegged back in the first half. So they went in at halftime at 1 each. I got a goal alert for Gamba Osaka in the second half. I then, 5 minutes later, got quite a late VARred off goal disallowed alert. And the game ended 1-1, so no charity for me, which means no charity for us all.
Yeah, I mean, you undersell yourself, because I accidentally backed the Louvain Cup rounds of fixtures on the Wednesday. So this Andy's pick actually came in at 4, I think it was 4-6, was it, went off at. But either that or Hiroshima, I can't remember who'd won.
It's
for
Hiroshima. So, they won in the cup. You backed the wrong game.
Wrong game, right result. So my charity didn't come in either. This was Partick Thistle away at Hamilton, in a game where they took the lead. They were ahead through Brian Graham in the 28th minute, pegged back by Dylan O'Reilly on the 36th. Then they went down again in the 89th minute, and they brought it back and scored in the 92nd to make it a 2-each draw. So it wasn't really close.
Which was a disastrous result for Hamilton in a game they really need to win.
Absolutely.
Those 2 points could prove monumental to them staying together as a club. There's a lot of talk that if they go down again into another lower league, that'll be it. They'll have to wind up. They'll have to go part time. So that was a devastating goal, and it didn't even get us the win.
It didn't even really. Well, I mean, it helped Partick a little bit, but they were all over them. They had 9 shots on target versus 3. They had like 19 shots in goal overall. Like, I watched the other side of this fixture. Partick are a much better team than Hamilton. So, as you said, no charity for you, no charities for all, but none for me also. Dave?
I did get my charity in, and it was in League One, and it was Barnsley against Oxford. And Barnsley won the game 2-0. Barnsley took the lead in stoppage time in first half. They've got a Serbian they've got a loan from Man City called Slobodan Tedic, midfielder. And he got his and Barnsley's second after 51 minutes. Both assisted by Adam Phillips. So same goal scorer, same assister. But a comfortable win here for Barnsley.
Good man, Dave. And hopefully Gordon and I can learn from you there and start picking winners in that charity section, because it's been a while since we've managed to get one of those charity bets up. We've probably had an outsider treble come in sooner than we've had a charity treble come in. So work to be done there. But overall, a very good week. So well done, lads. We're about to head to an ad break. If you're listening to us on the Sports Social Podcast Network or on any of the regular podcast channels, but you could also be watching us on Patreon, patreon.com/trampledbet, or download the Patreon app and join the Trampled Bet Club. It's about £6 a month. It really helps us out, and you get a whole lot of extra stuff as well. So not only are you supporting the show that you know and love, but you're also getting something back. So you get this podcast is an early release video podcast. You also get extra content podcasts. So the second Golf Major of the Year is coming up next month. We'll have a special show for that. And you also get a cheat sheet. So that's all the picks written down. So you don't need to remember what it is you're doing or which picks you liked from the show. You don't need to take notes or anything like that. So yeah, we really appreciate all our Patreon members. Thanks to all of you who already subscribe. Do come and join us. Gordo.
Yeah, I was going to say welcome to Kian, our most recent patron. So welcome Kian in, and hopefully this week we go 12 out of 12 and you can just be a Briar lucky charm for getting into this year. Because, yeah, maybe you'll bring us charity wins. That's what I'm liking. Maybe patrons will bring us different stuff. But yeah, so fantastic. Welcome, Cian.
Welcome, Cian. So you'll get to see the midsection of the show, which we're going to now, which is where we talk about picks we like for the weekend that we had a look at but didn't make our final selections for the podcast, and just other things we like from different sports. So we're going to that now on Patreon. The rest of you will hear a short ad break, and we'll catch you after the ad break for next week's picks.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Welcome back, and now on to this week's picks for the weekend of Saturday, April 29th, 2023. Same format as always, myself, Gordo and Dave running through banker picks, value picks, outsider picks, and a pick each for the charity treble. Gordo, we both lost last week, didn't we? So it'll be you taking the charity.
It's me on the mantle, which
the
is
charity
fine.
Funds off my hands this week. Ideal. Right, let's get to it. The bankers then. I am very close to home. In fact, probably the closest that you can get, because my game's at Hampden Park, as the international football stadium for Scotland. The Scottish Cup semi-final on Saturday at 12:15 for Falkirk versus Inverness Caledonian Thistle. So Falkirk are currently second in the League One table, and they play Inverness, who are sitting in third place in the Championship, literally a league above in the Scottish Cup semi-final. It's a huge game for both teams. Cup final appearance would be massive for both teams, financially and also for the fans. So Falkirk, despite being second in their league, are coming off a relatively poor run of form. They've won only two of their last eight matches across all competitions, whereas Inverness have been flying. Of their last 10 games, they've produced eight wins, one draw, and one loss, playing all of the toughest teams in their division during that run. I really fancy Inverness to win this match in 90 minutes. They've been really impressive lately. In fact, the draw that I mentioned there came last week against the top of the league team, Dundee. So that draw is actually a great result as well. They're a much better team than Falkirk. They've shown real grit getting results in a highly competitive league when they've had to. So I don't think this TV appearance at the National Stadium will faze them. They're in a different league, literally a better league than Falkirk, and Falkirk have been failing really to beat anyone. So for my banker, I'm going to take Inverness to qualify. So extra time and penalties are included as well. It's not just the 90 minute results, and they're 1-2 to qualify, which I think is a huge price.
Yeah,
I would have thought they would have been 1-3 less. So pretty delighted with the price. So my banker is Inverness to make it through to the Scottish Cup final, so to qualify from the semi-final on Saturday.
Brilliant. Okay, I am in Italy for mine. A lot of my picks roll actually in chronological order for how the weekend rolls out, which is good. So start us with a banker, and it is my first game of the weekend. This is Napoli versus Salernitana, and if Napoli win this game, they win the league. Now, that they would love to do at home, and you could not pick really better opposition than Salernitana, who have just got themselves just about out of the relegation places. So they're in 14th just now. Empoli, Lecce, Spezia all behind them before you get into Verona, Cremonese and Sampdoria. They are 7 points clear of the relegation zone with three teams below them there. Salernitana also have games that they'll be looking at after this that they'll be wanting to win, that aren't against runaway league leaders Napoli. Now, the reason you're getting Napoli an all right price here is that they haven't been very good at home in their last three. They drew with AC Milan, they drew with Verona, and they lost to AC Milan in the cup. Overall, though, they've taken 78 points from 31 games, as opposed to Salernitana's 33 points from 31. Napoli are a better team. This would be an emphatic win for them to do it at home in front of their fans. I think the chairman or the owner has warned them not to uncork bottles yet, but said there'll be plenty on standby should they win this game. So I think Napoli have got enough to beat Salernitana, and you'll get them at 2-9 to do so. Dave?
Yeah, I'm in League One, Saturday 3 p.m. and it's Ipswich against Exeter. And I'm going to tag Ipswich at 2-9. So Ipswich is second, 94 points on their 44 games. They've scored 93, and they've only conceded 33. Whereas Exeter are 14th, they took 53 points from 44. They've scored 61 and conceded 60. But Ipswich are top of the form table. They've taken 13 from their last five games, where they've scored 15 and conceded 2. Whereas Exeter, they're bottom of the form table. They've got no wins in the last five. They've only scored 3 goals and they've conceded 9. Ipswich boasts Connor Chaplin with 24 goals. He's the second top scorer in the league. Ipswich haven't lost in 15 games. Drawn 3, won 12. Actually, their last loss was to Burnley in an FA Cup game. They haven't actually lost in the league since the 21st of Jan. And Exeter, obviously, as I said, lost the last 5 straight. They had a draw before that, so look, so they're not in great form. And Ipswich have been fantastic recently, obviously, since the turn of the year. Just being kept off the top spot by Plymouth, but the two go up. I know Ipswich would like to win the league, but I think they'll gladly take second to get them out back into the Championship.
Ideal. Two really solid picks there, guys. And I wonder how often it is that I have the highest price banker over double the price
double the amount of selections as well. You can have a draw to start with.
There's many ways this could come in. But your two picks look so solid there, and I'm very confident in mine. So the banker treble this week of Inverness to qualify in the Scottish Cup semi-final, Napoli to beat Salernitana, and Ipswich to beat Exeter, combines to 1.24-1, which looks pretty damn good. On to the value picks then, where we look at something usually around even money, where we think the odds of it coming in are better than the odds that the bookies are giving us for it. My value is Saturday, 6 a.m. early start UK time in the Japanese top flight, the J1 League, for Seretse Osaka versus Sanfrecce Hiroshima. I tipped up Hiroshima as potential league winners before the season started. They got off to a slow start, 2 points from the first 3 games. Since then, though, absolutely turned things around. And despite losing to Tokyo last week, they're still top of the league 5-game form table with 12 points out of possible 15. They're tied third in the overall league table. They're only 2 points behind league leaders Vissel Kobe. So they're flying and they're performing really well, and they've got a very solid team. They're up against a decent but underwhelming Seretse Osaka team, who Hiroshima have consistently had the better of in recent times. Hiroshima won all 4 of the games the two sides played in 2022, 3 of which were away games for Hiroshima. So 3 of them happened at Seretse's home ground, and Hiroshima went there 3 times and just won all 3. Before their loss in Tokyo last week, Hiroshima had been on a 5-game away from home winning streak, and I like their chances of getting back to winning ways here, and they're better than evens, which is why this is in the value slot. So 12-11 for a Hiroshima win.
Are they playing any kind of Levine Cup action I could get involved with on Wednesday? I don't think so, not this week. Damn. Okay, I'll take you to the German second division now, which is not a league I'm in that often. More usually a haunt of Mr. Vaughan, but I really like league leaders Darmstadt away at Kiel. So Darmstadt are over even money to win this game, 8-7, 10, 11-10, depending on where you get them. This game is quite interesting because Darmstadt are top of the league, 4 points clear. They've got six games to go, but they're playing against the most middling team in the league. They're playing against Kiel, who are on 40 points in eighth position here in an 18-team league. They cannot be relegated and they can't get themselves involved in the playoff. So they're just happy to not be being relegated. Like the nearest team to them, Hamburg, are in third for that. In the German second division, you get that third place versus third place in the Bundesliga playoff kind of run for them. They're 16 points behind them with six games to play. They're not getting that deficit up, especially because there's five teams above them who could also get involved in that and are closer with them. Darmstadt have been really good. They're the best away team in this league. They've taken 26 points from 14 games. They're the form team in the league, taking 12 points from their last five. Kiel's home form isn't much to write home about. They've taken 19 points from 14 games. That puts them 13th in the home form table. There's just a lot of things to like about this. Darmstadt's form of recent and their away form of recent hasn't been as fantastic as it usually was, losing 1-0 a couple of games to Dusseldorf and Heidenheim in there. But I think they should have enough to beat a Kiel team who have at home lost 3, drawn 1, won 1 in their last five games. This game tends towards a draw when these teams play each other generally. So the last five times they've played has been one Darmstadt away win, one Kiel home win, and 3 draws in there. I just think Darmstadt have got enough to win this game. So 6-5, 11-10 for them to do so.
I favourited this game on Flash Score and looked at it 2 or 3 times before making my picks for the weekend. With the same idea of picking Darmstadt, just something put me off it.
That's actually good, because if you liked it, it's fucked. Like for both of
no,
us.
No, I do like it. I do
no,
like
no, no,
it.
No, you don't. No, you don't. You don't like it.
Well, out of all the games in the world, this was what I'm saying is this was shortlisted, but for some reason, it was just a nagging doubt. So I really hope it comes in for you, because I like a lot of this stuff. I think it was maybe the away form and also the head-to-head. I was looking at that head-to-head. It just didn't fill me with confidence. But yeah, better than even money. Worth a go for sure.
Defs. So Dave, what have you got for us?
Yeah, I'm going to take you to the championship at 5:30 and to what I believe is the highest ground above sea level. I think that's right.
Oh,
correct me if I'm wrong. It's West Brom against Norwich. And yeah, you can get West Brom here at 12-11. West Brom are in ninth. They've got 63 points from 43 games. Norwich are in 11th. They've got 62 points from there. They've played 44 games. Albion are 11th in the form table. They've taken 7 points from the last 5, scoring 8, conceding 8. Whereas Norwich, they're 19th in the form table. They've took 5 from their last 5. They've scored 4 and conceded 9. Albion did lose their last game on Sunday. They got beat by Sunderland 2-1. But they've only lost 3 in their last 11, Albion. Whereas Norwich have only actually won 1 in their last 9. Albion are actually, they've got a game in hand, which they're playing now against Sheffield United. That'll be a tough game for them. But they're only 2 points outside the playoffs, and Norwich are 3 points off the outside the playoffs, but it's just the form Albion have been in. I know they have lost DK to injury. I think he might be out for the rest of the season now, but you know they're good at home as well, Albion. They normally put up a good showing. So I think they'll probably just about have enough here to beat a Norwich team who haven't been performing great lately.
551 feet above sea level. So yeah, that's a good fact, Dave. That's one that I'll definitely steal.
I know. I knew you'd be all over that, Gordon.
I love
that. Did you just research the altitude of that ground, or did you confirm it was in fact the highest across all teams?
It's the highest in the football league. The highest in the English football pyramid is Buxton. That's 1,000 feet above sea level.
Okay,
interesting.
Yeah,
there you go. Not just a gambling podcast. We're here to educate as well. So the value picks are Sanfrecce Hiroshima away at Cerezo Osaka, Darmstadt away from home at Holstein Kiel, and West Brom at home to Norwich. And if you wanted to combine them as a treble, you'd get odds of around 8-1, 7.81-1 at Bet365 right now. On to the outsiders then, and we've had so much success with the outsider picks this season, so let's keep that rolling. My outsider, early start again, Saturday 7 a.m. UK time in the Japanese top flight, the J1 League, for Kashiwa Reysol versus Kyoto Sanga. Kyoto Sanga have started the league season pretty well. They're in ninth place with 12 points from 9 matches, scoring 13 and conceding 13. Kashiwa are playing really poorly this year. They only have 6 points from their 9 games. They've scored 5 goals. They've conceded 13. Kyoto Sanga have performed well away from home. They've picked up 6 points from 4 away fixtures, while Kashiwa have 5 points from 5 home games. The teams played each other 4 times last year, and there were 2 wins for Kyoto Sanga, a win for Kashiwa, and a draw. But it's interesting to know all games that had a winner were won by the away team. So Sanga came here twice last year and left with victories. And they're 21-10 to do it again this time. The way the form in recent head-to-heads have gone, better than 2-1. That's a good bet in this spot.
I'm glad they're 21-10. What did you just see a wee extra point on there? Club that in now. That uni bet, something, right? You're just reading right down the thing.
21-10, according to my flash score screenshot. I think the price may have changed to 2-1 though on Bet365 right now. It seems like a 2-1, 21-10. If you're getting around that, that's a good price on Kyoto Sanga. It's also the Kyoto bit, I think. Kyoto 20.
Well, I'm in La Liga 2 for my pick, and this is Albacete versus Cartagena. And I really fancy the away team in Cartagena to get a win here for the team at what I consider big odds, 5-2, 12-5, depending on where you shop around for that. Two teams that are right beside each other in the league, 6th and 7th, and right in about the playoff places, or certainly the playoff places that you kind of you have to do like a gridded playoff system for. And we're running out of games for Cartagena to get in there. So they're 2 points behind Albacete here. They are the best form team in the league just now, taking 12 points from 5 games. Beside Albacete are not. They've taken 7 points from the last 5 games. They're in 9th here. And what's quite striking about this is that Cartagena are the 3rd best away team in the league. They've taken 26 points from 18 games. If you look at Albacete at home, they're again 9th, taking 32 points. So there's a lot to like about a Cartagena away win here. They've had to play a lot of teams that are towards the bottom of the league, both of them. And Cartagena picked up way more points in doing so over the last 5 weeks. If you look at both their form, they're playing against teams that are like the local almost relegated or around the almost relegated section there. So they've won 3 out of their last, they've won 4 out of the last 5 games. They only took a 1-0 loss at Malaga. And I think you're getting too big a price here for me to not get involved with this. Albacete's home form just isn't that fantastic. So I'll be taking a Cartagena away win, and that is 12-5. Dave.
Yeah, I'm taking us to a lovely seaside town. We're in the National League Saturday at 5:30. It's Torquay against Wrexham, and I'm going to attack Torquay at 13-2. Now, bear with me because the start of this is going to sound like I'm absolutely insane. Wrexham, as we know, have won the league and been promoted. 110 points from 45 games. They've scored 115 goals and only conceded 42. Torquay are in 21st. They've taken 47 points from their 45 games. They've only scored 57 goals and they've conceded 79. Torquay don't have a great home record. They've only taken 24 points from 22 games. And Wrexham have the second best away record. They've taken 43 points from 22. Now, where we like it, and it changes a bit here, is Wrexham are 4th in the form table. They've taken 10 from the last 5. Torquay is 6th. They've also taken 10 from their last 5. They've scored 11 and conceded 10. Torquay have only lost once in their last 7 games. And they've won their last two home games. Obviously, we know how good Wrexham are. They've only lost one in their last 18. But Torquay have got a good record against Wrexham as well. They're actually unbeaten in six home games against Wrexham. Torquay have got a slim chance of staying up. They're 3 points behind Maidenhead. So they need a win and they need a 7-goal swing. But, you know, like I said, they've scored 11 in their last five. So they're scoring goals at the minute, Torquay. It's not impossible for them to do it. And I think they'll be banking here, as I am, on, you know, Wrexham have probably been out on the piss all week. So who can apply? You know, Wrexham have won the league. They've won it at home. They've had their celebrations. Are they going to put a full side out? I'm not too sure. You know, like I said, the league's done and over. So I just think Torquay have got a good chance of picking up something here. And I think they're going to give it because they need a win and a goal swing to stay up. So I think they're going to give it their best to try and do it. So I think at 13-2 at home with a good home record against them, yeah, I think it's all right.
That is a big, big price, Dave.
It makes sense, and it is a big price. So the outsiders then look like this. Kyoto Sanga away at Kashiwa Reysol. FC Cartagena away at Alcete Balompi. It's a great name. Really good. And Torquay at home to Wrexham. I always back the outsiders as a tricksy, so I just need two out of the three to come in. But if you fancy the straight-up treble, 75.5-1. Huge.
Most of that's me, so.
I mean, most of that's Dave, for certain.
With his 13-2 shout. Brilliant.
Really good stuff. On to the charity treble then, lads. Let's get one in for charity this week. My pick is Sunday, 3 p.m. in the Danish Superliga for FC Copenhagen against Brøndby. And the home win for FC Co is 4-7. So Copenhagen are top of the Danish Superliga, but FC Nordsjælland are only 2 points behind them. So there's still all to play for here. Copenhagen do their best work at home. They haven't lost at home in 90 minutes since a 3-1 loss to Randers way back in August 2022. So that was 23 home matches ago. Brøndby are bottom of the league's championship group. So very similar to the Scottish top flight, the Danish league splits in two and you get the top six get placed in what's called the championship group, and the bottom six in the relegation group for the final set of fixtures. So Brøndby finished, they're sixth, and so they're bottom of the top set. They're 16 points behind Copenhagen. They're the only team in that championship group with a negative goal difference, scoring 34 but conceding 43. Form-wise, Copenhagen have taken 10 points from the last five games. Brøndby, they've only managed 3 points. Since 2021, the sides have met at Copenhagen's home stadium, Parken, four times, and Copenhagen have won them all. 2-1, 4-2, 2-0, and most recently 4-1 last year. So I like FC Copenhagen at home here a lot. So they are my charity selection for this week.
Cool beans. Okay, I'll take us to the French League 2. And we've got six games to go. And I like sixth place Bastia to go out there and get a win against Amiens, who are down in 14th and in danger of being relegated out of this league. So, Bastia have went on a tear in the last three games, beating Annecy, Sochaux and Nîmes 3-0, 3-2, 4-2. They are banging them in at the moment. Contrast this with Amiens and their away record. They've lost four out of their last five. The only points they did pick up were against Saint-Étienne in there. They're losing these games 3-1, 2-1, 3-0, 2-0. Not a lot of them have been good showings. There's no meaningful head-to-head between the two teams. They rarely play each other in leagues. Between in the last three games, there's been two draws. Two of them were cup games. Before that, we went into 2012 and 2011 when they really played each other last. Bastia did win the game in 2012, if anyone's interested in that result. But means nothing for this one. Amiens are in a bit of a skid here, and Bastia have a real chance with six games to go to get them up and around promotion chances. They're in sixth, but that sixth And second is Bordeaux on 59 points. They're only 7 points back. There's four teams above, there's three teams above them on 58, 52, and 52. So it's a hotly contested league here. Six games to go. They've still got an outside shot of getting up and around League One. So I think Bastia will look to win this game. They've been playing really well recently, and I really couldn't turn down even money to get them to do this. So they're even money at William Hill, 10-11 at 365 and 9-10 at Unibet. So all around the even money mark. But you will get Bastia to beat Amiens, and I think it'll happen. Dave, what you got for the charity and rounding us out?
Yeah, I'm going to round us off in the Championship Saturday at 3 p.m. And it's Coventry against Birmingham. And I like Coventry, who are 1-2. So Cover fifth. I've got 66 points on their 44 games. Whereas Blues are in 17th. They've taken 53 from their 44. Cov fifth in the form table. They're taking 9 from their last 5. Whereas Blues are 17th. They're taking 5 from the last 5. Cov have got Viktor Gokaras, Swedish international now. Managed to keep hold of him, and he's got 20 goals this season for him. Cov have only lost 1 in their last 15. And they haven't lost to Birmingham in the league since 2011. Six of those games were draws, though. But this is a Cov side that are in great form. They've pushed themselves into the playoffs, which is great considering the start of the season. The ground wasn't ready. They couldn't play home games. They had to make up a lot of games. They lost Callum O'Hare, who's like their playmaker, to injury. He was out for the season. So, you know, Cov have performed really well here to get themselves in the playoffs. And I can see them getting another 3 points here and keeping themselves in that playoff contention.
Nice.
Ideal. So that means that the charity treble for this week is FC Copenhagen at home to Brøndby, SC Bastia at home to Amiens, and Coventry at home to Birmingham. So three home wins that combine to 3.5-1 exactly. So hopefully there's £45 of our own money going to charity next week, and Gordo will get to announce that when the charity treble,
can't wait,
rolls in. We have a Facebook group. Do come along, get involved, join the conversation. We've got a very active community of a few hundred people there talking about the show, talking about the picks from the show, but talking about their own picks, what they fancy for the weekend, asking sports betting related questions. The whole shebang, basically, and there's been some really good picks in there recently that I've certainly profited off of as well. Peter Glover, Michael Stokes, to name a couple that have been very successful recently. Mentioned it earlier, you can give something back to the podcast on patreon.com/trampledbet. £6 a month to be a member of the Trampled Bet Club, and you get all the extra stuff. You get the video podcast, you get the middle section, but most importantly, you get the cheat sheet with all the picks from this week written down. And if you fancy taking them as a 12-fold, it's close to 7,000-1 this week. So one day that mega coupon will come in, and hopefully it's this weekend. Yeah, we've recorded this on, Wednesday night. Man City v Arsenal has just started. I am not going to be watching that. As I said to the boys earlier, I'm going out to the cinema to see Evil Dead Rises, because that will be a less traumatic experience for me. It's just Man City v Arsenal. It's going to be horrible if you're wanting Arsenal to win that. I have no faith at all. But hopefully I come out of the cinema to good news this evening. We shall see. Gordo, Dave, anything else before we round off this week's show?
No,
nothing from me.
Excellent. It's been a pleasure as always, gentlemen, and thank you to everyone for listening. Have a great weekend. Happy hunting.
Bye.
The Trampled Bet podcast is produced by Andy Vaughan, Gordon McLarnon, and Gary Black, part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. Find the next show you'll love at sports-social.co.uk.
Sports Social Podcast Network.